mysap.com. So mysap is not a single product, but then it's a suite of products from SAP, which includes SAP R3. So it basically includes everything from a traditional SAP R3 to the new CRM solutions that SAP provides. So the intent is to provide now a brief overview of these components, what they are meant for, and what are the different IT infrastructure products that are needed. So when we talk about my SAP, so as I said, the different functional modules are also integrated in this. So with the evolution of internet, that is the HTTP and the XML, so SAP has opened up newer version to meet this demands of the business, and the core elements of the My SAP are the marketplace, the workplace, the business scenarios, and the application holding, the application hosting, sorry. So SAP cloud platform for extending the ERP. So it is important to know that the SAP cloud platform is offered as not as a competition to their on-premise thing, but it's basically help organization to extend their on-premise ERP solutions. So the existing systems, that is those are on-premise, for companies who would want to adopt a cloud strategy. Typically the organizations currently are doing that, right? So they are adopting a cloud strategy just because they would want to reduce the device footprint on premise. So SAP cloud platform, it also helps organization to move their workloads into the cloud, right? And it basically helps to cater to newer technologies, like if I have to talk about the artificial intelligence or machine learning, right? So these are the things that the cloud platform is triggered to cater to these kind of workloads. So we took an example of the car manufacturer, right? So what a ERP really means to a car manufacturer. So now with the futuristic technology, so say for example something like a IoT sensor inside a cloud, inside a car, which could help getting certain parameters. So to the car manufacturers, so how can these technologies be leveraged? So that is basically the future of a ERP, and SAP is basically triggered to handle such kind of market changing dynamics. So for SAP cloud platform, the underlying foundation, it's basically the underlying foundation for the SAP Leonardo. It's the platform that connects the legacy applications and the data to the next generation tools, that is the AI and the blockchain. Companies are already using the cloud platform to develop applications that are in production. As for any new release, there are some obvious pros and cons, right? And so let us now have a look at the different pros and cons of the cloud platform. So the SAP cloud platform for extending the on-premise ERPs. So let us understand what are the benefits of it. It supports a lot. It supports a wide variety of integration scenarios, so a lot of different functional modules that I spoke about, right? Multi-layer management, supply chain, supplier relationship, the finance modules. So it has a very rich set of integrations of the different modules. Second is the integration services are focused on supporting the newer technologies. So say for example something like a cloud for a B2B scenario, and there are different analytics and machine learning which can be a part of the newer age deployments. So SAP cloud platform is really geared to embrace these technologies, because these are the future of the future in which business is done. Correct. So SAP is triggered, or probably it has been built and designed to adopt to these kind of technology changes. The third is because it's a very feature platform. It provides a rich ecosystem of components for business integration, not just internally, but then how it can be integrated with any third party applications also. So things like using reusability of the code or the technology service. Now understand, in today's environment there are a lot of vendors who provide services. So as an organization, you might want to leverage on SAP's core competence, but then at the same time for cost reduction, you might want to probably, you know, take one or two functional modules from some of the other vendors. So that's where SAP is really flexible to integrate that with the third party systems. And it has a very rich ecosystem as such. The other major benefit is it adheres to the GRC framework, that is a governance, risk and compliance framework. So it's basically a framework which helps an organization to segregate the risks and helps them different strategies to mitigate those segregated risks. So it's basically compliant to the GRC framework as such. The key benefits, another key benefit of the SAP cloud is that it helps to extend the ERP into the cloud. We just spoke about those. The SAP legacy applications can be now moved to the cloud, where they continue to get support for the GRC, that is the compliance is taken care of, and still allow enterprise to innovate with the application that could deliver the value. Business can connect to their users and use the SAP cloud platform to improve access to material data for both standard and customer specific materials, as well as document delivery time and pricing. So as I said, a rich platform which can be integrated and can be used by businesses to grow their business. Last is, it is also flexible in terms of the different formats. Now understand one thing, so there is one flexibility in terms of integrating the overall system with the larger ecosystem of players, but then it is also flexible enough to have different interfaces, right? So say for example something like iDoc or the CSV based interface. It helps to, so these are flexible in nature, so it enables the legacy data and applications to connect with the newer capabilities, like say for example the mobile or the IoT or the ML applications, right? So it provides that flexibility with the different interfaces. Now we already looked at some of the benefits of the SAP as such, right? So let us also look at the cons or the shortfalls of SAP. So one is the SAP cloud platform integration, it's a little complex in its nature, right? So although we said that it's a cloud platform and where enterprises can leverage the cloud ready technologies, but then the integration takes a little time. So even for a SAP system to get implemented, there are implementation partners who specialize in understanding the SAP applications, because it's a little complex by its own nature. And believe me, it's complex because there's so much detailing to it that unless you are a SAP functional domain expert, it's very difficult for a lay person to actually, you know, understand it, tailor it according to the business needs and get this thing deployed. So the integration is a little difficult. Second is, according to Gartner, they say that the SAP's cloud foundry services are okay, but then the other services are at an early stage of development, so the stability of those services are still questionable. Then there are some other trade-offs when we have to look at the SAP cloud platform versus the third-party alternatives that are present. The main limitation of the cloud platform is that it is designed to have a cloud-to-cloud, that is a cloud-to-cloud strategy or a cloud-to-ground strategy. But then a ground-to-ground integration as such, they have a little, they're not so good at it. According to me, if you ask me what are the shortfalls, or I would not really say a shortfall as such, but then what are the tricky areas in case of SAP deployment? So one is a cost, and the second is the hardware or the licenses, right? So although we say that SAP is a very detailed system, it helps to understand the business needs and all, but then it comes at a very, very high cost. And it's not just a one-time cost, but then the licenses cost for the SAP, it goes on increasing year by year. And once you're tied down to a SAP system, then your business virtually runs on that, right? So it is very difficult to then, you know, come out of SAP and probably, you know, say for example, move to Oracle or move to a tier 3 vendor as such. So the cost, the licenses, they play a huge role. Third is also it requires very high hardware configuration. So say when the SAP system is deployed on a particular server platform, then they require a very high amount of processing, the RAM, the hard disks and things like that. So SAP as a company itself then certifies the different hardware vendors that, you know, for my system to best run on a platform, then, you know, you have to go with the HP ProLine this series or the IBM X series, right? Things like that. So the critical factors why SAP is so successful in the market. So first is it was the first of the company to realize that, you know, it's not a one size that fits all. And there are different needs of different organizations. So a lot of customization is needed. It could be the different vertical wise customization. So say the needs of chemical industry might be different from automotive industry. So SAP was the first company to understand this and also understand the different specific versions for the small enterprise, the large enterprise, and they offered the cloud based SaaS service as well. It was the first of the ERP to provide a fully localized version of its ERP that incorporated the various company-specific, country-specific laws. So, just to give you an example, the SAP as a module. So, when GST was rolled out in India, right? So, SAP had made that change in their finance module so that the from a taxation perspective. Because the Indian tax system was so complex in its nature, SAP had actually incorporated everything, the VAT, the octroi, and the other tax components. But then the moment the tax regime in India got changed to a GST, SAP also had to bring about that change. So the first company to basically have that kind of localization. And also, although I mentioned that the SAP requires a very high amount of compute and memory to provide the kind of performance, so it basically talks about a specific hardware. So SAP runs on virtually any kind of hardware, OS, database and browser, but then it has to be certified by SAP that, you know, this is the hardware that is best suited for my application. So SAP no longer now, as I said, it's no longer a ERP, it's become a complete enterprise solution. The continuous evolution is to meet not just the immediate pain points, but then it's very futuristic to make the ERP acceptable at low level. So say getting the user behavior, integrating with IoT, the machine learning, AI, right? So these things are incorporated in SAP. The other key factor that led to the growth of SAP was a lot of the products that you see from SAP or the lot of modules. So these all modules were actually made from scratch, right? So unlike other companies who acquire the different companies and build their portfolio, so SAP as a company, right? So they have basically grown organically. So they haven't, you know, basically taken over major companies and then integrated them in their product lines, but then they have majorly, you know, grown through their R&D, their own in-house efforts. So that's why you see there is one homogeneous product, and that is the reason for it to be so successfully integrated with all the different modules. Last is I would like to spend some time on SAP HANA. Right, so HANA is their in-memory caching engine. So it's an in-memory cache basically, and it helps to you know, increase the time to response. So SAP HANA and ECC and integration with the cloud and providing the integration of the different products and compatible with all the middleware for integration makes SAP a product that customers can implement without throwing away their legacy applications. So if we talk about SAP HANA, right, and I just wanted you to basically, you know the fact that SAP has in-memory database called as the SAP HANA. So it caters to both OLTP as well as OLAP. So one is the OLAP, which is the online analytics processing, and one is the OLTP, which is the online transaction processing. Now, what do I mean by that? Analytics processing, that you already have some data with you, and then it's more of the data warehousing. Whereas, say if you go to an ATM and you actually, you know, make a transaction, so it's a transaction that you've made. If you pay through a credit card, it's a transaction. So it's an online transaction transaction tool that you've made, right? So online transaction processing and online analytic processing. Now the beauty about in-memory database or in-memory is such that you already have something as a backend tier to store all your data requirements. But then if it's something which sits in the middle, so it basically caches all the transactions, and it provides basically a faster response. So that is the whole purpose of SAP HANA. Now there has been a mandate to migrate all the workloads from the traditional SAP to the SAP HANA. So just very quick passing a reference to HANA, just ensure that you probably know this terminology. Okay, so now let us understand Oracle as a ERP system. So Oracle started with a database vendor. So Oracle Corporation was a database for a very long period of time before its foray into the application business. It has basically grown inorganically. So through a slew of acquisitions, Oracle has brought in its stable and popular brands in the ERP, financial accounting, and other solutions. Under the umbrella of Oracle application, there are a number of proprietary labeled products, mostly legacy UE suites that were offered very in a redundant functionality. And then there is a new application suite called as the Oracle Fusion applications. Oracle started as a database vendor, as I said. In the late 1980s, they started with the Oracle apps. So the application division was built to create a lot of business-centric applications, which leveraged their databases offering, because Oracle was very strong as a backend database. So the first application that was launched was the Oracle Financials. The manufacturing and the logistics, SCM, PLM, CRM were added subsequently. So Oracle added or customized industry specific modules for healthcare, aerospace, lifestyle, life sciences, and high tech industries as such. So in the 1990s, Oracle apps had a major buyer in the form of General Electric, and it took a significant amount of time for the deployment to take place, right? And in the course of implementation, these products underwent considerable changes, and they matured into strong ERP products. Now what happened was, because the deployment of Oracle apps in GE, it took a long time. So Oracle also basically incorporated those changes as a part of their product. So their learning curve increased, and through the 10 and the 15 years of deployment, they gradually adopted all these changes in their in life cycle products. So then that's how they now give a strong and a stable ERP product. So to gain market dominance, Oracle Corporation went ahead with a lot of inorganic growth, as I told you earlier. And some of the popular ones were the PeopleSoft Financials in 2004. So the PeopleSoft as a package, it existed before Oracle bought them, and it was really popular in the HR industry and the financial industries. Similar was the case with Siebel Systems and the J.D. Edwards, right? So they were really popular systems, and the philosophy of Oracle was, because they were not a traditional ERP system or ERP vendor just like a SAP were, so their strategy was to inorganically grow and basically leverage their backend database, because they were a very strong database partner. So these products brought about the much needed flexibility and the wider customer acceptance to Oracle's ERP. And in fact, even now the products are known for their original, by their original name. So see, when I was in TCS and I was working on the PeopleSoft, so I actually knew PeopleSoft as a package and not, you know, something that Oracle was giving. So it was that popular in the market. So the application suite that was originally called as the Oracle apps that were earlier launched, they were rebranded as the e-business suite. So, and that's how they projected their foray into the business applications. So despite these acquisitions and restructuring and bundling, so the critical point remains that whether Oracle will be successful or not. But you know, with this kind of acquisition that Oracle has done, it is now very successful. So the key factor here is, when you acquire a vendor, how well you integrate that particular vendor in your core functionality. So that is a critical area for the success. Product consolidation. So moving to Oracle Fusion application, so Oracle e-business suite provided all the application from a traditional ERP to a range of products encompassing the entire enterprise solutions. So Oracle, they played their card really smartly by, you know, getting that inorganic growth, but then they have spent a lot of time and effort to actually consolidate those products into a common product line. So most of the individual modules remained in their original acquired form and multiple versions. The traditional user of PeopleSoft HRMS did not see Oracle e-business suite, they just saw PeopleSoft, as I just mentioned. The industry challenge was, how does Oracle consolidate this application with duplicate functionality into a single product? And that's what we discussed, how do we integrate that as a part of your product line. So thus Oracle has announced the solution as Oracle Fusions app, a combination of product consolidation and technology. Applications unlimited. So it's the Oracle's plan to continue enhancing current applications product line while simultaneously developing the next generation Fusion apps. The application product lines currently are listed below. So the e-business suite, the Fusion apps, the Primavera, JD Edwards, Enterprise One, JD Edwards World, Knowledge Management, Crystal Ball, Agile. You know, so these are the different systems that are the different application product lines that Oracle has. So like DocuMaker, Endeca, Hyperion is very famous, Talio as a system for the HRMS or for getting people onboarded is a very famous tool. So these are the different product lines that Oracle has. So let us now spend some time to understand where Microsoft lies in the entire ERP market as such. So we saw how Oracle and SAP are leaders as far as the tier 1 space of ERP solutions is concerned. Microsoft leads the bandwagon for the tier 2 space. So Microsoft ERP, although some might classify them as tier 1, they are not in the same class as Oracle and SAP, as I have mentioned, in the sense of having their footprint amongst the multi-regional, multinational corporate implementations. So Microsoft Dynamics is their flagship brand, name of the Microsoft product suite of products for financial management, CRM, supply chain. And this was a result of Microsoft several business applications in the early 21st century. So Navision Financials was an accounting and enterprise and a ERP solution developed and marketed by a company called as PCNC. So as Navision grew, so again Navision was really popular. Right, so across the 1990s, Navision had gained a lot of market share and the solution was offered for Microsoft 2000 professional operating system. So what gradually happened was Microsoft saw that potential in Navision, and Microsoft acquired Navision in 2002 for the financial module, right? So and then the Microsoft Business Solution was continuing to use the Navision brand on the products. In 2006, Navision product was rebranded as Dynamics ERP. So in order to have a stronger brand for the Microsoft Business Solution. So the point I'm making is, and you can see the difference, right? So you on one side, you have SAP as a company who has grown organically. They have developed most of their products, 95-99% of their products are homegrown, versus SAP where they have a lot of inorganic growth. Right. Similarly, in case of Microsoft, so Dynamics is their flagship brand. So again, the Navision platform was an acquisition. So the key success factor remains when you talk about a company acquiring other companies to strengthen their product line. It's the integration factor. So how strong is the integration with the existing product lines? What are the synergies? Right. So that's where the key success lies.